Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we check in on the sequestration again, that set of automatic spending cuts put in place by Obama and Congress to force themselves to come up with long-term budget changes. They, of course, did not. What they did do was last week come up with an emergency bill to avoid delays at airports from cuts to air traffic controllers. But we're now seeing that a host of other important government-funded items are feeling the effects and not getting as much media pushback. So tomorrow we'll talk about how Head Start and Medicare are being affected. Today we'll talk about the impact on local biomedical research efforts. It's sort of a two-part series that we can call The Sequester, It's Really Happening. Sarah Gonzalez is Northern New Jersey reporter for WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. She reported on the biomedical industry yesterday. Maybe you heard her piece. And joins me now in her Brian Lehrer Show debut. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Brian.
So the top line stats in your piece are that local institutions are losing around $115 million in federal funding from the federal government. This will close hundreds of labs around the country, you say. So my first reaction to that is, well, $115 million, that might not be that much when you're talking about the medical industry, but hundreds of labs, that sounds like a lot. So how big of an impact are we seeing?
Right. So in New York is losing $100 million in biomedical research funding. New Jersey is losing about $12 million. And the labs don't really know how many of their projects are not going to continue to get funding. But there are already labs at Rutgers University that are having to shut down because the National Institutes of Health, the agency that administers taxpayer dollars for biomedical research, said, because of the sequester, we're sorry, but we do not have the money to fund the project that you've been working on for 18 years.
So, for example, one molecular genetics lab at Rutgers is looking into ways that exercise improves the quality of aging, including lifespan and movement and memory loss related to things like Alzheimer's disease. They were owed a check on April 1st. You're reporting it hasn't arrived. The head of the lab says if it does not arrive, it could mean she has to let researchers go, which scientists say can set a lab back years. So that's a very concrete story from Rutgers.
Right.
You have another one?
Yeah. So there is a scientist also at Rutgers, Andrew Singston. He's been looking at – he works on infertility, and he's been working on this little translucent worm. They basically ask this worm, what do you require for your fertility? And then they take it up the line to understand human fertility. He was told, we can no longer fund your project. He's been doing it for 18 years, and he's the only lab in the country that works on this issue. The way that the funding works, these scientists compete for these grants, and the NIH, who administers the grants, doesn't fund the same project in different parts of the country. So this lab, if it has to shut down, that's years of medical research that'll just be sitting on shelves until funding comes back.
How did you describe that species? Did you say translucent worms?
Yeah. A really cute little translucent worm, actually. They're about the size, they look like a fleck of dust. And they reflect the color that they are around. So when I saw them, they just looked like these little gold flecks.
So this is politically much more difficult than air traffic controllers, right? People can say, oh, the planes aren't flying, everybody's being delayed, commerce, families, inconvenience. But people will turn around and say, oh, defund the translucent worm. I don't want my taxpayers going to study translucent worms. Why do I care anyway? So it's more politically difficult.
Right. Well, and here's the thing about, you know, there's some people who have been asking, you know, the biomedical research industry is getting affected. They're going to get 5% of their funding has been cut. And there's people saying, what is 5%? Really? Surely there's some fat that they can trim. And I just want to put it in context. You know, the people who apply for these grants are pretty competitive, and they are getting peer reviewed by other scientists. So there really isn't a whole lot of fat to trim. And I spoke to researchers who said, you know, there's a misconception that the majority of their budgets goes to supplies and equipment, but they say, you know, 75% of their budget goes to personnel, to scientists. So they can, you know, make their own little enzymes and do things like that. But really, if they have to make cuts, they have to let go of scientists.
Listeners, we want your calls. And this doesn't have to be just about scientific research. Are you seeing the effect of the sequester in your life? And no, we don't expect you to walk into your local burrito shop and have them say, we don't have guacamole because of the sequester. But maybe there are some stories out there. If you work for the government or in an industry that receives government funding, if you work in biomedical research in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, are you seeing cuts? Can you tell us any stories? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, as we try to compile some data here on what actually is being cut as a result of the sequestration. 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show as we get this report from our Sarah Gonzalez on the effect on the biomedical research industry in our area. I want to play a clip of someone you spoke to in your piece. This is Linda Lee, a postdoctoral student at Columbia, researching the causes of memory loss.
Currently, I am planning on going into something more along the lines of science editing or science writing. I love science and I'm passionate about what I do in the research. But over the years, I have noted that the funding is very scarce.
So to me, that rings all kinds of alarm bells. It's just one student who may not be able to go into science writing or may choose not to. But just at the same time, that it's almost national policy to try to push more people into the STEM areas, the science and technology majors, because our nation needs it. And she says, well, funding is very scarce. Now, of course, she's talking about being an editor and a writer, but still in conjunction with science. Do you get the impression that people are leaving science entirely because of the sequester or being dissuaded from going into it, or would that be way premature?
No, absolutely. I spoke to several researchers who said we have seen a lot of our students, even at undergraduate students or graduate students, postdocs, people with PhDs, who say, you know what, we have seen that in the past decade, funding for biomedical research has been cut by 20%. It makes up less than 1% of the entire federal budget. And they're seeing that it's getting harder and harder to get money to fund research projects. Michael Shalansky at Columbia University told me that the postdoctoral fellowship used to be the easiest thing to get. There was, you know, anyone could get a postdoctoral fellowship to continue their research. And now he says these postdocs are being asked to bring their own funding to a lab. And funding, of course, has been shrinking. So people like Linda Lee say, you know what, I think it just makes more sense to get out of academia.
Why does this get funded by the government anyway? Biomedical research, presumably if you come up with something that really helps people, there's a gazillion dollars to be made in it in private industry. And so, of course, the pharmaceutical companies are always investing their own money in new kinds of drugs if they think they're going to be money makers, and medical equipment inventors and all of this stuff. So why is this a taxpayer role?
Well, you know, the pharmaceutical industry does turn the discoveries that people make in labs at Columbia and Rutgers and Princeton into a little pill that you can take that solves, you know, the flu or whatever. But
we're waiting for that one.
Right, we're waiting for that one. But the majority, apparently, of the discoveries are made in these labs and not by the pharmaceutical industries.
Let's take a call. Allison in Summit. You're on WNYC. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Al. Hi, how are you? Thank you for
taking
my call.
No, you're Allison.
I know. Good point. I am a PhD in molecular biology. I studied HIV down in Virginia at George Mason University. And my mentor has to shut down his lab as June 1st because of the sequester. He had an R01 grant that was not renewed by NIH. And so there are three PhD students that are just left in the lurch down there in my lab that just can't continue their program. It's a total disaster.
And why is it? Is it clear to you? I mean, if there's supposed to be this 5% cut that trickles down and trickles down, is there no way for them to cut 5% of the budget and continue? Or do you know why it's happening as a total shutdown in that case?
All that I know is I have one of my friends is working at NIH, and she says right now she's a shoulder to cry on for all these PIs that are, you know, calling her up and just saying, what is going on? And so it's a, it's just shocking, the whole academic basic research world.
I'll chime in a little bit. So the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, they have 27 health agencies, the Cancer Institute, the Diabetes Institute, and all of them are going to be hit by 5%. It's up to each of those institutes to decide which grants are they going to continue to fund, which ones are they just going to cut off.
So the total 5% cut can be implemented in all kinds of ways, and there you've just explained it. Neza in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Neza.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. Are you seeing sequestration cuts in your life?
Yes, definitely. We work in research and education. I work as under the MARC grant, which is Minority Access to Research Careers. And we essentially teach research in the hopes that more underrepresented groups will go into research careers and somehow affect health disparities, you know, longer, you know, into the future. And my particular branch is for sophomores and freshmen, and it feeds into the MARC program, which is for juniors and seniors. And my particular arm will be ending this year because there's no money to continue it. And even the MARC program, which has been funded for about, I think, 20 years, we expect to get enough funding for seniors and juniors. And then after that, it's probably going to be a gap until maybe we can reapply for more funding. But these programs essentially help sort of balance, you know, or meet the need for more people going into research. And I think education is one of the areas in which this cuts are particularly going to be more felt.
Neza, thank you very much for adding that. Pete in Huntington is calling about the translucent worm. Hi, Pete.
Yeah, hi. I want to defend the honor of this this organism and many other model organisms that people used to do biomedical research with, including baker's yeast, all the way up to the translucent worm that we just mentioned on the program. I think findings of molecules and pathways in animals like this worm, which we know what all these cells are and all the neurons are, and we can understand their behaviors and molecules that are in there that have to do with things like cancer, are very important. They're worked on, you know, throughout the world, so it's crucial to fund these sort of model organisms, fruit flies, baker's yeast, the C. elegans, it's called, the translucent worms.
So. Right, because they're so well understood, and we understand the relationship between some of their organs and human organs, and they've been so well studied.
Right.
So I'm glad you clarified that, Pete. Thank you. We'll get one more in here. Evan in Middletown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Evan.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
I have a friend in Vermont who has to find another job because her Head Start program got cut in half. They took 2 days off, and they are cutting the summer, I think, by more than half.
And we will follow up on this tomorrow, so I'm glad you brought it up. And it sounds, you know, like a tragedy in the making for some kids up there in Vermont. And this is happening around the country. Head Start. Remember when we talked about the air traffic controllers last week? This is one of the things that kept coming up. Oh, well, Head Start is being cut too, and they're not going to have the political clout that the flyers have. Well, we're going to do a separate tomorrow on Head Start and how the sequestration budget cuts are affecting it. So, Evan, you gave us a little push in that direction to finish up today. And I want to thank New Jersey Public Radio's and WNYC's Northern New Jersey reporter, Sarah Gonzalez. You can hear her piece on our website at WNYC.org on the sequestration cuts affecting biomedical research in the New York, New Jersey area. Sarah, great reporting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, as the bike share program is rolled out in New York City, what can New York learn from Amsterdam about being a city of bicycles? Stay with us.